Hey friends, welcome back to the Amber May Show. I'm glad you are joining me because I have Jim Tewalt joining us today. We are going to learn about how to grow our wealth. I know that's important to you because it's important to me. I don't want to be poor. I want to grow my wealth. I want something to leave as a legacy to my family. And I, you know what? Money doesn't buy happiness, but it can buy some fun. I want to live my best life, and I know you do too. So we're going to talk to Jim Tewalt today about how to grow our wealth. So that's on today's show. Please like, share, and subscribe. Send this far and wide because we want to help other people learn how to grow their wealth. They don't teach us how to what to do with finances in school. So you have to seek out the information, and I'm bringing it right to you. So please like, share, and subscribe. You can join us on Telegram. I always add more content there, and you can find me at The Amber May Show on Telegram. I'm on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, and Clubhub, so join me at those platforms. If you believe in what I'm doing and want to become an angel investor, the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com. Click the donate button and donate whatever you feel like you can donate to help support the program. That, I really appreciate it. Well, without further ado, I have Jim Tewalt right now. Jim Tewalt. He's going to share with us how to build our wealth. So Jim, why don't you start up that presentation? Well, Jim, what do you have for us today? I'm so excited to learn more about finances, how to grow our wealth to protect ourselves for future. So what do you have to share with us today?
Well, it's very exciting things in today's times. There's just so much information out there, a lot of media information. We're going to talk about that a little bit. It's the best of times. It's the worst of times, I think, is probably the best way I would say that. Plenty of opportunity today. A lot of misinformation out there designed to scare people, to get people off focus, to get them not thinking and basically take advantage of them. And we're going to try to help you today to not be caught up in that that thing that's going on.
Fantastic. So what are we talking about today? Are we talking about estate planning?
Well, we're going to talk about just basically how to become wealthy.
Oh, I like that.
It's hard to go on YouTube or Rumble or any of the other stations that are out there without seeing an ad on how to become wealthy. There's so many of them. And some of them are probably good, and some of them I think are designed to make the presenter wealthy, not necessarily you, the purchaser.
Well, you know what? There's small tools that can really make big differences in people's lives. And you and I talked about it before. There are some fundamental families that have been very wealthy in America, and they start out with little tools in the toolbox. And perhaps you're going to shed some light on some of those tools to help grow our wealth.
We're definitely going to talk about how to take the initial steps and then what to do after that to become wealthy.
Perfect. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, first, the disclosure thing that we have to do as a registered investment advisor, I have to disclose certain things to the public when we do this. So first of all, this program is not intended to offer any specific stocks or other securities for sale or to promote any particular strategies. Investments involve risk, and unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to consult with a qualified, trusted financial advisor before implementing any of these strategies. So it's perfect. Like the when you see the race car driver running down a track through the city, usually there's a disclaimer there. Don't try this at home.
So, yes.
So let's get into it. We're going to start by looking at a couple of pictures here. Do you recognize either of these two gentlemen, Amber?
One of them I do.
Mm-hmm. One of them you do. Okay. Well, one of them is, we'll get to them a little bit, but I just want to tell you that they're going to be part of our discussion this morning. One of them handled his planning very well. The other one, not so well. So what's critical right now? Well, one of the best planners that I ever met. When I sat down with him, I offered to create a financial plan for him. And I started looking at what he was doing with his finances. And he had covered all the bases. He had taken care of, he had money set aside for buffered emergency funds. He had a high interest savings account. He had money in the stock market. He had safe money in annuities. He had life insurance in place. He had a long-term care insurance plan in place. He was doing charitable giving, and he was working with his children to transition his wealth down to the next generation.
Wow.
So who was he? Was he a wealthy industrialist? Was he a business owner? Was he a financial advisor? Actually, he was a missionary. So
what? A missionary.
What's critical now? Well, first of all, there's a lot of thought about or a lot of talk about the CBDC, the digital currencies, the BRICS nations, inflation, runaway spending, rampant immorality. I remember a statement that James Carville made. He was the campaign strategist for William Clinton years ago. And he made a statement that stuck in my mind, and it said, it was this. He said, "It's not morality, it's the economy, stupid." So what we've seen today is that he had it completely backwards. It is morality, it's not just the economy, because morality does influence the economy and does influence your finances. And that's why we're going to talk about how to do the right things here. So,
to say what you just said about morality, even our founding father said, if you want to rule yourself, which is what our government's supposed to do, how it's set up, that we the people control, you know, how we run the country, you have to be a moral people. In a republic, you have to be moral people to run. Otherwise, it just implodes and it doesn't work out.
That is true. And we're seeing that today. We're seeing people that whose morals have gone. They have no moral compass. And they're easily swayed by people who want to sway them to do what they want them to do. So I remember watching cowboy movies when I was a kid and how easy it was to take a herd of sheep or a herd of cattle and to get them running pell-mell in any direction, a couple of well-placed shots from a six-shooter, and they were running uncontrollably. And that's what we're seeing today. We're seeing people that are shooting in the air, so to speak, and making the public run and do things that are not good for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what is true about every major sports contest, every successful business adventure, and every political campaign. They all have a plan. If you go to the Super Bowl and watch two teams play, both of those teams have a plan. Both of those teams have tried to identify the other's weaknesses and exploit them, and they have a plan to do it. Most people enter their financial lives or enter life with absolutely zero plan. They have no written plan. They have no idea where they want to go. And they just get bounced around by people who have a plan. In fact, I heard this statement one time, the man with no plan is subject to the man with a plan. So unless you have a plan for your life, a written plan for your life and your finances, you are very likely to be pulled in by the next shiny object that comes along. And we see that so often.
You know, what I also heard is you should control your money, not your money control you. So if you don't have a plan, your money is controlling you versus if you have a plan,
right,
you're controlling the money. That's what I've heard a saying here and there along the way.
very often. So what is the media's purpose? What is their goal? Well, first of all, their primary goal is to make money. Mm-hmm. And the way they do that is to change your focus from your plan to their plan. They want it's called television programs. And
that's right.
Because the idea is to program your way of thinking, make you come back to them as the source for all of your information. That's what they want. Right. When that happens, they make money. And remember when the Twin Towers went down, 9/11, the media had us in their grasp. We watched, I don't know how many times I saw the Twin Towers be hit by right. the airplanes. And each time they went down, it was over and over and over and over again.
That's
and
right.
yet we could not seem to take our attention off of those programs. And that is what the media wants. They make money from their advertisers when we do this. So the answer to media madness, in my opinion, is to have a game plan, a battle plan, a way to focus so that you can avoid distractions, a plan for your own path to success. So I know we talk about these things a lot. Life insurance is important. If you die prematurely, money in checking and savings account is important. Investments are important. Predictable streams of future income, that's important. Tax-free money in retirement, that's important. Owning gold and silver, those are all important things. But what you'll see in the media often is they will focus on one area. For example, there's an ad out there right now that talks about owning gold and silver in your IRA, a little known secret that the government is trying to hide from you. The whole idea here is to get you to lose focus from your overall plan and be pulled into owning gold and silver in your IRA. And I'm not going to say that that's a bad idea, but it's a very difficult thing to do. And I've seen several people that have done it. And then when they tried to unhook it, it cost them thousands of dollars to do so. So it's not something that you want to enter into without some thought, without a plan. It's like being in a football game and you decide to do a trick play. I remember the trick play, I believe it was the Philadelphia Eagles. I think it was against the Patriots. They lined up their quarterback and actually he became the receiver. They called that the Philly 3, I believe, and they scored a touchdown. But they didn't run that play it was successful, but they didn't continue to run that play through the rest of the game. They ran it one time. So I think it's important here to make these decisions in the context of an overall plan.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Wow, it's so soft and smooth.
It's cool to the touch. How did you do that?
Well, we took MyPillow's patented fill and combined it with this new technology that we didn't have back then when I invented MyPillow to bring you the best pillow in history, MyPillow 2.0. Because of all of you, MyPillow 2.0 has been a huge success. And now we're bringing you our best-selling go-anywhere MyPillows with the same temperature-regulating technology. Made with my patented adjustable fill and brand-new cooling fabric, they're truly the next generation of MyPillow. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to save over 60% on our MyPillow 2.0 four-pack special. You'll get two MyPillows and two go-anywhere MyPillows. Regular $259.92, now only $99.98. King size, just $10 more. This is a limited time offer, so please order now.
Hey there, I'm Darren.
And I'm Randy.
We're from Patriots with Grit, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Check it out.
In the early 1900s, like 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, WealthManagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like some, to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you. You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So without coordinating, without a plan, things are just a hodgepodge. It's like an explosion in a confetti factory. It's a mess. And that's what the media wants. That's what a lot of financial advisors want. They want you to buy whatever it is that they're selling today without any regard for how it might fit into what you're doing. So that drives me nuts. So let's get back to our two individuals here. The first one is a fellow by the name of Randy Pausch. And Randy was a computer science professor at Carnegie Mellon University. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer at 45 and given less than a year to live. And he's famous because during that period of time, he was a lecturer. He was one of the professors at the university. And at that time, the professors had come up with an idea of, if you were going to give your last lecture, if you knew you were going to die and you had one more opportunity to speak to your students or speak to the world around you, what would you say? And so Randy was given an opportunity to deliver a last lecture. And it became a YouTube sensation. It was made into a book. It garnered the attention from Oprah, Good Morning America, Time Magazine, and more. And he became quite the celebrity. And then he died at age 47. So diagnosed at 45, died at age 47. But Randy had time to interact with his family, tell them how much he loved them, put the plan together for them, for their future. He had time to do the things that it takes to be successful and to be remembered in a positive manner. Let's contrast that with James, whose last name I'm not going to try to even pronounce, but James was very famous. He's an actor and a producer, best known for his role as Tony Soprano in The Crime Boss in HBO's The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. James died unexpectedly at age 51. He left only 20% of his estate to his wife. It was about a $70 million estate. $30 million of it went to his Uncle Sam, went to taxes.
Oh, no.
Only 20% went to his wife, and I'm not even sure where the rest of it went. But James had far more money than Randy did, but he failed to focus. And his life was taken unexpectedly. So one of the things I like to tell people or talk to people about is what's called the 100-man story. And this is actually derived from statistics that the Social Security Administration puts out. And basically it says this: out of 100 people starting their career, their working career, if you follow them to retirement, only one will be independently wealthy, four will be financially secure, five will continue working, not because they want to, but because they have to, 36 will be dead, and the rest will be dead broke, depending on Social Security, relatives, friends, or charity for a minimum standard of living. Now, the interesting thing about this story, Amber, is that when I started in the financial services business, some 100 years ago or so, seems like. But it was actually back in 1967, so do the math on that. That's 100 man story. We used to tell that 100 man story. And do you know that in all the years that I've been in business, the numbers have not changed?
I believe that.
With all the financial advisors running around the landscape, all the famous Daves, the Jewish waitress that became a financial guru, with all the advice that's out there, these numbers have not changed. There are millionaires with college degrees. There's millionaires with little education. There's millionaires who were born rich, millionaires that were born homeless. There are millionaires in developed countries, but also millionaires in poor nations. There is no single quality that stands out amongst the wealthy, except wealthy people understand and use faith to attain wealth. They understand the principles of success. They understand that it's not a win-lose situation. Abundance is there for the taking. There's enough for everyone, mm-hmm. but it takes a plan, a change of mindset and a plan. I see this all the time. When I read my Bible, it says, Jesus said this, the poor you will have with you always. Now, why is that? Well, because poor is a mindset.
Yeah.
My favorite economist is Paul Pilsner, and Paul Pilsner is a Christian man. And basically, Paul Pilsner says this, most people say that economics is the science of the management of finite resources. Mm-hmm. I say, as a believer, one that knows that God has all the resources that there is, economics is truly the science of the management of infinite resources. Mm-hmm. So you've got to have a change of mindset right from the get-go. Then I think it's important to meet with a fiduciary pro. I'll get back to that in a little bit. Create a plan, monitor your plan, adjust your plan if necessary, but pretty much stick to your plan. Ignore the distractions. You know, in a football game, the quarterback is trying to run his plan. He has 11 distractions on the other side of the ball, all trying to get him to forget the plan and think about their plan. But we know that in good football games, quarterbacks and coaches make adjustments, but they basically stick to their game plan, and that's how they win. And
well, that's how... I want to say something about that, because change your mindset. We've all heard the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So if you are in a job that isn't paying the bills, you have a choice. You can change careers. Either maybe you gain some skills, maybe you go back to college and gain some skills, or, you know, start at an entry level position in a different industry, or you get a second job. My point is, if you continue to do the same thing over and over again, realizing that you can't make ends meet, you have to figure out some other way of doing that. Either you get another job, you get a better paying job, you get the skills needed to advance your career. But if you keep being stuck in the same place over and over and over again, you have to have a change of mindset and do something different. Otherwise, you're going to keep being in the same position that you are now.
I am so glad you said that. And that is the world today. So many people just keep doing the same thing, expecting different results, getting frustrated. That is that's a great observation. If it's not working, you got to go back to the drawing board. If you've just thrown three interceptions to the same cornerback, it's time for a different play.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, absolutely. So, some ideas here, managing your information intake. And it's hard not to watch the media these days. It's almost like substance abuse. Some of these things are so compelling.
Right.
It's hard to not watch them because some of the presenters are really talented, really gifted, really crafty. But if you're going to make it, you've got to avoid fads. You've got to build on a solid foundation. What I tell people is you have to take a macro look and a micro look at your finances. In other words, macro look, Are you doing the things that it takes to be successful? There are certain things that all successful people do. If you're not doing them, then you might want to include them into your planning, into your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And then the micro look is, are the things that you're doing, because as an example, you could be investing in the stock market, which is one of the things that people do that are generally wealthy, mm-hmm. Make a lot of money. However, you could be investing in the wrong things.
That's
You could be speculating, doing things that are just not going to work for you. You may have a mentality of, I don't like to take risk. And I could look at your portfolio as an example, and I would think you are Superman. You are trying to leap tall buildings at a single bound, yet you tell me you like to keep both feet on the ground. Something is wrong here.
Well, not just that. I like what you said. You know what? If you want to be successful, you need to be looking at what do successful people do and start mimicking what successful people do. Because if you start copying the steps and the things that the wealthy people do, the skills, what do? Do they sleep all day and watch TV all day? No. They get up early. They start their day. They have a plan in place. If you start mimicking what successful people do, you can't help but become successful. You can't help but start growing your wealth. And then I love what you said about the micro look. You have to see, what are you doing? Because you know what? Honestly, Jim, I would say most of America doesn't know how to invest. There is no classes taught, maybe at the collegiate level, and that's about it. But there's no real classes taught to regular everyday Americans who are given a retirement plan at work. And then they're told, okay, now invest your money. Well, most of us look around like, I don't know, they close their eyes and then they put their hand on a business with a dart and say, okay, I'm gonna invest there. They don't know what's a small cap, what's a large cap, what's an international fund, what's the S&P 500. People don't know. So
right.
Since you don't know, this is where you have to get someone who does know. So your options are going to the library, checking out books about money management, calling someone who's a fiduciary financial planner, watching the Financial Times, getting periodicals that have to deal with money, watching videos that have to deal with money. You have to educate yourself. But the best thing you can do for yourself is find a financial planner that has your back. One thing I respect about you is you let your clients make the ultimate decision, but you say, here, this is the best plan that I have come up that I can find for you. Here's this, and here's what it will do. You show them the pros, you show them the negatives, and then you leave it up to them to make that decision. Oftentimes they'll follow your advice and sometimes they don't. And then they find themselves in trouble and then they come, hey, Jim, can you help me out with this? And you've been so gracious to help clients out, no matter if they choose your advice or not. But it's wise because you have your clients back. Not everyone does. So these are just some tools in your tool. You have to take it upon yourself to educate yourself because the macro and the micro are important.
I find, Amber, that most people can make good decisions when they have relevant information and they're put in a position where they're not badgered or pressured to make a move. I can remember vacuum cleaner salesmen coming to the house and they were not going to leave until they made the sale that night. That's what it was all about. But
Yep. But
that kind of pressure may work for when you're buying a vacuum cleaner, but it's really not a good idea when you're planning out your financial lifetime.
Correct.
There you want to have advice that's in a no pressure setting. You want to understand as much as possible what you are doing. And by the way, when it comes to managing money, a lot of people in our business that are professionals don't really know how to do it either. So, but there are some things that the wealthy have done over the years. Buying and hold quality. I've got this kind of closing comment on the bottom of this slide. Buy and hold quality. That's a good financial basis. It makes for a good core. And then it's fun to do some things like trying to buy the next Amazon stock when it's $20 a share. I get it. It's good to have a little fun in the market too, and to try to pick some stocks that could make you a gazillionaire in 24 months or less. But for every stock that does that, there's probably 1,000 that will try to bankrupt you. So it's so good when to you're build talking a solid about foundation hold. And then go from there.
When you're talking about buy and hold, you're talking about like at the stock market.
Pardon me?
You're talking about the stock market, buy and hold quality. That means when you invest in the stock market, hold on to your investments, right? Is that what you're talking about there?
Yes, and have a strategy that that works for you, whether the market is up and down. And we've talked about this a little bit. I like buying dividend stocks. I like buying companies that have increased their dividends for at least 10 years. And some of them have increased their dividends for 25, 50, 60, 100 years or more. Any company that can pay a dividend to its shareholders and increase that dividend every year for 10 years or more is a very well-run company.
And even in a down market, these companies have been paying dividends to their stockholders, correct?
That is, boy, that is something, great statement, Amber, and a statement that most people just really have a hard time comprehending or don't even know it's true. When the market is down, good companies are often increasing their dividends. They're making money, but the market is down. The overall market's down because investors are frightened. There's no shortage of bad news out there. We just went through this last year. Inflation, the Fed raising interest rates, bing, bang, boom, very quickly. Suddenly, our interest rates went from on mortgages went from about the mid 2% up around 7% in the blink of an eye. Well, when that happens, when we have shortages of materials, when we have a war going on over in Europe, when we have political unrest, all of those things are very disconcerting for people. It scares them. Mm-hmm. And that fear is reflected in the stock market, the way they handle their investments.
But one thing you've said to your clients, and it's really stuck with me, when you see your statement and you have that, the profit and loss part of your statement, if you haven't sold your stock or your or the things that you have in the stock market, if you haven't sold your investments, you've told your clients you haven't lost.
Right.
Talk you about that for lost. A brief second, because I think that's important with the buy and hold quality.
It is. And it's very hard. It's hard enough when you're working to hold on to your stocks when the market is down. When you are retired, what I find with most people, it is virtually impossible for them to stay in the market when they're retired and the market does something like it did in 2008, where yes. it went down almost 40%. When that happens, people say, I'm retired, I cannot afford to lose all my money. And that's a very valid concern. You know, if you didn't have that concern, I would wonder if you had a brain or if you were thinking. It's a valid concern, but actually it's the worst possible thing you can do in that kind of a situation is to sell. And one of the ways that we help people not make that sell, that impulsive sell move, is to show them that their dividend income is going up. Yes, the market is down. Yes, things look terrible. Yes, it looks like we're not going to come out of this, but your companies that you own are making money. They're paying dividends. The dividends are going up. We are reinvesting your dividends to buy more shares when the stock prices are down. And your plan is actually working harder for you right now than it would be working if the market was up.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you are trouble going to sleep at night, and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplements section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay.
America, Patriots, we are currently on the Amber May Show. So stay tuned. Amber May.
We are here to defend democracy.
The misinformation poses a threat to our nation's health.
Climate change is an emergency.
Democratic socialism.
Codify everyone's right to choose.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15.
That's all it takes for people to have hope.
I want people to get the idea of when the stock market's going down, this is your opportunity to buy at a discount. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, if you like going to Neiman Marcus or a Sportsman's Warehouse or Cabela's when they're having a 50% off sale on your favorite stuff, yeah, heck yeah.
Yep.
Well, let's move on here, Amber. Consider this alternative. And by the way, this is the same mentality that you had when you're working. So if you were retired now, I'm going to get you back to that mentality that you had when you were working. Instead of focusing on growth, hitting the mother load, so to speak, by buying Amazon stock when it was $5 a share, instead of trying to do that, instead of trying to hit home runs while blindfolded, pitching against Randy Johnson at 101 miles an hour, which is almost impossible, why not focus on building predictable streams of increasing income for your retirement? Yeah, we can have a little fun. We can take some shots at some stocks that could be tremendous winners. But, you know, if your retirement plan is buying lottery tickets at the grocery store, you are probably going to be in trouble. Now, they say you can't win if you don't play, but that's I have played and I haven't won. So
me too. I have played and I haven't won either.
Right. So what we suggest to people is, look, a multi-tier retirement income plan. First of all, and my wife made this comment this morning, and it was really a great comment. It's really wonderful to go into your retirement with a pension plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you work somewhere where they have a pension plan available, by all means, get on board. But if you don't, and in many private industries today do not have pension plans anymore. But if your company does not have a pension plan, set one up yourself. And we can show you how to do that. There's actually a couple different ways of funding it, but you can have your own private pension plan that builds predictable streams of increasing income, some of which can be done without market risk, some in the stock market. Some of it can be taxable. Some can be tax-free. I think a balance there, and everybody's a little bit different when it comes to that balance, how you make the adjustment. That's why it's so important to have a financial plan that's built around you, your circumstances, the way you look at life, what's on your bucket list, the things you want to do, what you're afraid of. Build that plan that just reflects you. And you if you do it that way, you're going to have the best chance of success. And a good financial fiduciary person, a good pro, can help you do that. Have an income-focused investment portfolio in the stock market. Your plan should take care of you and then leave a financial legacy to your heirs. So this is possible. This can be done. This is not all that complicated, quite frankly, but it's pretty much the antithesis of what you're going to hear in the financial media these days.
Well, I want to talk about that for a second, because some people are thinking, I just don't have a lot of money. I would love to do this and have a pension plan and have predictable streams of income. I just am living paycheck to paycheck. Can you speak to those people? Because I feel like there's a plan for everybody. There's ways to do it in little baby steps. Are you able to speak to those people and just give them a little advice of like where they can start if they're the paycheck to paycheck, would like to do something like this, but don't know how to start or where to start?
Well, let's talk about John D. Rockefeller. Here's the story on John D. He bought an apple for a nickel and he sold it for a dime. And that started him off on his career, supposedly, of making a lot of money. Now, John D. Rockefeller came from a very wealthy family, so I think his wealth accumulation probably went beyond buying apples for a nickel and selling them for a dime. But it's a mindset. So you start with what you have. First of all, if you're a believer, it's a lot easier because you know that you are in the family of God, and God is, if you believe what the Bible says about God, he's always been here. There's never been a time that he did not exist, which is kind of a difficult thing for we humans to understand, because we think in terms, hey, I was born as a little baby, I grew up, and then I passed away at some time later in life. An infinite being is very difficult for us to comprehend. Also, just knowing that if you're part of his family, all the wealth in the universe belongs to him. Mm-hmm. And I've heard a lot of people talk about, well, it's all God's money, so you want to be really, you want to be a penny pincher with it, and you want to be very careful and don't, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I don't believe that. I believe that God is very generous. In fact, there are scriptures that say this, the generous man will himself be blessed. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly, sow bountifully and reap bountifully. Mm-hmm. God loves a cheerful giver. Mm-hmm. So I believe that my experience with God anyhow is that God is a giver. I remember having a gal in the office here one time. She came in, she was working for the church. She had virtually no money. We met with her. I talked with her, but there was nothing I could do for her at that time. 9 years later, she showed up in my office again. She actually had forgotten my name. I had forgotten her name, but I remembered her face. And when I opened up my files, and I always kept files, I realized that 9 years before, she had been in the office. Well, over 9 years, she had gone to work for a big paint company, and their 401k plan did amazingly well, and she had a lot of money. 9 years changed her situation from totally bleak to totally different. Mm-hmm. And we were able to put together a plan for her. And actually, at this particular point, she's just about to retire, and she will retire with more income than she had the first time that I met her. And it'll be there for the rest of her life. So here's what I'm saying. You step out and you start. You change your mindset. You change your mindset from a poverty mentality, it'll never happen to me, I can't do this, to one where you're going to step out in faith and begin to make some moves that other people have done over the years. You know, one of the nice things about being in business, as long as I've been in business, Amber, is I've seen people make good moves and I've seen them make some pretty stupid moves. And what we want to do is not do the stupids. I've seen how they work out. Let's not do those. Mm-hmm. Let's do the moves that actually worked out for people. Mm-hmm. If you are your age now, and the 75-year-old version of Amber came along and sat down next to you, the 75-year-old version of you would say, here's some things that you can do, Amber, right now to make life better for when you get to the point where I'm at. And that's what we try to do with people is to talk to them like the 75 or 80-year-old version or 65-year-old version of them would talk to them in terms of how to make decisions, how to do things. So
let me ask you this. Do you, when you sit with clients, do you talk to them about, or young people that, hey, it's really great to buy a home. Like, do you add that into your financial planning too? Like buying a home builds wealth because you can transfer that to your kids. Also, at some point you can be rent free because if you pay your house in 30 years, you can be rent free versus if you rent. And like right now we're seeing the cost of houses is very expensive. It's like triple what it used to be. Do you ever talk about that as also a tool to build wealth into your family, or is that not?
Absolutely. And we have a lot of clients that like real estate, even as an investment, just beyond their personal homes. They like real estate as an investment. We have the conversation. I've had people tell me, well, I own rental real estate. I prefer to do that. Oh, okay. Tell me about your renters. Well, I have my kids in there right now. Are you charging them any rent? Well, we're just trying to help them out. And I say, look, you know, you're really not a real estate investor. You have a real estate ministry. And that's fine. It's your real estate. It's your money. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. But let's not call yourself an investor if you really have a ministry going on. So, and when it comes to buying a home, I've had people that, I'm married to a gal that wants our home paid off. That's very important to her. Economically, I've seen the numbers both ways. A home in some respects is like a boat. It's a black hole into which you put money. However, it is your home, and our home has substantially gone up in value over the years. But beyond that point, for my wife and for me, a home is a home. It's our place. We have a lot of memories here. Our kids have memories here. Okay. Our kids have said they want us to keep the house and the family because of all the memories. So, actually, Amber, to answer your question, yes, we have that conversation. People have different ideas about homes. Some are in a home that they consider their forever home. Other people are in homes that they consider just part of their investments. But we try to have that conversation. I don't want to sway you in your persuasion. If you feel that a home is something that you want to keep and you want it paid off and you really don't care about the economics of the situation, that's fine. I'm not here to get you to think the way I think. I'm just here to get you to think. So let's talk a little bit about what is a fiduciary pro. Well, In our industry, a fiduciary, first of all, is someone that takes an oath to put you first in each and every transaction. A salesperson is generally focused on, I need a sale. I need this sale. If I push your hot buttons, in other words, if I keep talking about the things that I know of it are of interest to you or the things that frighten you, if I keep pushing those buttons, I'm probably going to get you to make the sale, whether it's good for you to do it or not. A salesperson is not compelled to disclose the possible negatives. In some respects, they are, but in some respects not, or to help you determine if this is a decision that fits into your financial plan. They're just there to make the sale. And that's the American way. There's nothing wrong with that, except that if you are the one making the decisions, you might want to switch the pitch and begin to make your decisions within the context of your financial plan instead of just being the subject of somebody else's plan to make more money or maybe win the trip that the company has promised to the top salesman. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get people to make informed decisions within the context of a personal financial plan and to see what the implications of those decisions might be. We had a client in the office one time that I asked him, what do you really want to do in retirement? And he said, I want to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. And this guy was, I think he was about 65 at the time. If I remember right, his wife was about 20 years younger. And so I asked him, okay, what would it cost to do that? And he said it was about $30,000. So we plugged that number into his retirement planning, and we found out that he could do it. So he did it.
Wow.
She went up the mountain first, is the way I heard the story, and he put his feet into her footprints. But he made it to the top. He did it. I give him credit for that. He did what he really wanted to do. And I think that's important, to do the things that you really want to do and see. If you know that you can do them without blowing up your financial plan, I think you can do them then with a much better mentality. You can do them happy, not worried that you're going to somehow destruct in the future because you made that financial move mm-hmm. today.
Right.
So that's what, let's just recap a little bit here before I hit the thank you for your time. And I want to do this too. You're going to see a slide in a moment that's going to thank you for watching today and give you a chance to ask questions. I know that if you hit the subscribe button, I think it is, to Amber's podcast, and if you ask questions, we'll get answers for you. That's what she's here for. She's trying to get you to understand what's going on in the world around us today and to find some ways to deal with those things so that we're not trapped, we're not programmed into making decisions that are not good for us to make. So just to recap here, it's important to change your mindset. And changing your mindset is an external thing. There's actually a verse in the Bible that I like, one of my favorite verses. It says this: do not be conformed to this world and its way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If it all starts between your ears, if it doesn't happen there, it's not going to happen. You might get excited about something I've said and run off and do something that I mentioned. And then the next time a bright, shiny object comes along from a different direction, whoops, a bird, mm-hmm. and you're gone. Mm-hmm. So it's important to have a mindset where you're going to have a plan, you're going to stick to your plan, you're going to make adjustments when you have to,
right.
and you're going to work with someone that can be the guide at your side, not just the sage on the stage barking mm-hmm. orders at you.
And I want to make it perfectly clear. You and I both own precious metals. We are not saying do not own it, but there's ways to do that.
Oh,
and
yes.
It's an unregulated industry. So we just want you to work with someone who is not going to pull the wool over your eyes and get you to buy high and sell low. So that's not what we want for you, because that's another financial tool. Gold and silver is a financial tool. It just needs to be used right. And we can help you do that. So I want to make that perfectly clear. And I love this presentation because your heart and my heart are very similar. I don't like seeing people around me in poverty. I don't like seeing them struggle so hard. I want everyone in their retirement years to be thriving, because I have seen people who are barely making it in retirement. They've worked their whole life. They haven't made maybe the wisest financial decisions, or sometimes it's not even up to them. Life happens and life isn't easy. But there is ways to recover even when life is really difficult. So there's even things out of our control that we can't help, and we come up to a situation and then we find ourselves in financial hardships. However, I love what you said. God has all the resources. He can provide at a drop of a hat. He's done it for me. He can do it for you. And what we just want is everyone to live their best life, especially in retirement, and make a good plan, because the earlier you start, the better you are. The later you start just means you're going to work a little harder to get to your goals, but not impossible.
Not impossible, but tougher. So mm-hmm. starting sooner than rather than later is far better.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to get a hold of Jim Tewalt, you can do so by going to iloveeps.com. or EPSWealthManagement.com. EPS, Estate Planning Solutions, is what it stands for. EPSWealthManagement.com or ILoveEPS.com. Jim, what's the phone number to the office if they want to reach out to you?
The office phone number is 623-537-3657. We also have an 800 number if you're calling in from out of state and you want to save your money and have a better retirement by not paying for a phone call. It's 1-800-4 and then just spell out my last name on the keyboard, T-E-W-A-L-T, and that'll work.
Awesome. That's wonderful. Thank you, Jim, so much for all your financial advice today. I am so excited. I have a place on my website at theambermayshow.com. If you go to the podcast section, there's a place for all the financial advice that Jim has given us. So I would encourage you to go to my website, theambermayshow.com, go to the podcast section, and you can see all the financial things that we've talked about up until this point. And maybe you can learn something. That's what we're doing this for. So you guys can learn something. And then if you need a financial advisor, Jim is here to help you do that. So thank you, Jim, for coming on the program today. I really appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Amber. And I just want to say one thing to your listeners, Amber, and that is to subscribe if you have not already done so. And talk to your neighbors and talk to your family about subscribing, because I know Amber's heart is to keep you informed as to what's going on in the world around us. Not to program you, but to actually get you to think about what's going on. And she is her heart is to help you be all that you can be and have all that God wants you to have in your life. So take action, subscribe, and encourage others to do the same thing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What if I told you that there was a beauty product that also helped block fat? Would you be interested? I know you would, because it's something I'm interested in. The older I got, the more wrinkles that are showing up on the forehead, under the eyes. I got this Timeless box. It's amazing because the oil goes on after I clean up my face. The oil goes on and it helps with wrinkles. It helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. It's great for deterring insect bites. You gotta try it. It's amazing at that. And it's super easy. You just put it on your face and it just helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. Not only does the oil do that, but it also blocks fat. So put a dropper in your mouth right before you have a meal and you could be stopping fat right before the get-go. So if you want to lose weight and you want to have a beautiful looking face, or if you have skin, anything, a skin that you're just like, I don't like this, then get the Timeless Pack at thetimelesspack.com. Use my name, Amber May. Use promo code Amber May and save almost half off on the Timeless Pack. So that's thetimelesspack.com. Promo code Amber May and save some money for getting your wrinkles and fat loss. Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.